Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for this time together. This is an exciting part of this message we've been speaking on. The verse found by that was quoted of Jesus speaking in Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 48, "Be ye therefore perfect as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." And so we were looking at the elements, essential elements of perfection that are actually listed in the Word of God. And on yesterday's broadcast, we talked about knowledge of the Word, because 2 Timothy 3:17 says, God's word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then benevolence, that aspect of giving, not just finances, our time, our energies, our talents, our abilities, all that we have are gifts from the Lord, and we are, out of love, would be willing to utilize them as He would direct us by the Holy Spirit. And as I said, that includes not only time, but our energies, our attention, our care, our abilities, all that we are, that we can give that to the Lord for His work and service. And we're going to continue on now with some other essential elements, if you will, of perfection. And of course, I know you're probably waiting to hear this, and that is number three, love. And this is not fleshly sentimentalism. And this is not synonymous with giving. It's giving with wisdom as well as discipline. Colossians 3:14 says, "And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness," or perfection, if you will. And of course, in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, which is, we know, is at the love chapter, the greatest of these is charity. 1 John 4:12 says, "If we love one another, beloved, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." And so we see that God, who is love, and it is a love that is all-embracing, it accepts people where they're at, but also it's not willing to leave them where they're at, because we're all in progress. We're all on a road. Those who've accepted Jesus, we're a pilgrim progressing to our heavenly celestial city and the New Jerusalem, if you will. And for those who are seeking and earnestly desiring truth, the Spirit of God is being poured out upon all flesh. And there's tremendous work that we may not be hearing of it, but God is moving, because the time is short. And so it is so important that we truly understand the love of God. It's not just sloppy agape. It is not just syrupy feel-good feelings. It is God's true love, which takes into consideration spiritual principles. And sometimes God's love is harsh. It seems to be harsh, but it is not. It is not a hard love. It is because He loves us so much. He knows what the future holds. He knows unless we are turned around, or unless we're stopped in what we're doing, it could lead to greater and greater consequences. And so, you know, obviously I'm thinking now of the Apostle Paul. I think of what he was quoting in Acts. He said, the Lord said to him, Paul, or Saul at that point, he wasn't Paul, known by Paul then, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Obviously, God had been dealing with him, and he was not willing. He was not willing to respond to the gentle wooing, the convicting of the Holy Spirit. So what did it take? It took him being blinded and knocked off his horse before he said, "Lord, who art thou? I'm Jesus, who thou persecutest." It took that. But that same zeal and strength of character that he had in serving falsely what he thought was the God of his fathers, was turned around to become one of the most brilliant apostles and evangelists who wrote most of the New Testament. What a brilliant, wonderful man of God, and what an example to us. And so love is the love of God. Well, I can't be exhaustive on that. Let's go on to the next one, fourth element of perfection, if you will, and that is good works. And of course, when we think of good works, we understand that our faith is made perfect by works. It's not just talking about it, it's actually doing it, doing whatever God would place on our hearts, the good works that he's called us to do before the foundation of the earth. A man is justified not only by faith, but also by his works. Speaking of Abraham, James says in the second chapter, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect." So we want a perfect faith, right? Good works and a perfect faith. And then let's go on to another essential element, and that's control of the tongue. Well, Jesus said at one point when he was teaching about, you know, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, it says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but what comes out of him, out of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so James tells us in the third chapter, verse 2, regarding the tongue, you know, it's a world of iniquity that no man can tame. That's right, no man can tame it. The Holy Spirit is able, though, if we're willing. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Wow, that's pretty amazing. You know, you have problems with, you know, what? Appetites of any kind, food problems or drug or addiction problems. You know, if you're able to control the tongue, wow. You're able to also bridle the whole body. That's pretty amazing, is it not? Another translation, if any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, this is another verse, but deceiveth his own heart. That is serious. If we seem to be religious, but we don't control our tongue, we deceive our own heart. We're deceiving ourselves. This man's religion is vain. Wow, you can't get any harsher than that, can you? To say, I mean, you're just, it's vanity. It's not real. It's not sincere. You're just talking it. If you, you know, it, there's a price to pay, taking up your cross and following Jesus. All right, well, I think perhaps we might go through yet another aspect, essential aspect of perfection, and that is obedience. Again, Jesus is our perfect example. He's an example of always being obedient to the will of the Father. And if we say we know Jesus, but we don't keep his commandments, we are liars and the truth is not in us. That's what it says in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 4 through 6. I mean, that's a very strong, powerful statement. And so we see that being obedient to the Father is extremely important because Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And this is the amazing thing. Did you know that Jesus, who was perfect and he was without sin, that he went through a process of perfecting? Did you know that? The Word of God says that. And you might say, well, how can that be? Well, if you are very versed in the Word of God, you might be thinking of Hebrews, the second chapter, verse 10. For it became him, the Father, for whom all things and by whom are all things, okay, that's speaking of the Father, in bringing many sons unto glory, that's us, right? Sons, daughters, that's us, to make the captain of their salvation. Who's that? Well, that's Jesus. Okay, let me read it just the way it's printed. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Wow. And so obviously, if Jesus went through sufferings, He went through physical sufferings, and I'm certainly not saying that that work that he did on the cross, we don't have to be crucified so to partake of his sufferings. But he went through sufferings in other ways. He had to be patient. We had to be long-suffering. Listen, the very term long-suffering requires suffering. Does it not? Think about that. It's suffering long. Dealing with hard-hearted, hard-headed people, dealing with circumstances that are not pleasant, dealing with situations that just irritate you and cause you pain and distress. Yes, that's what it means to be made perfect through sufferings. How did he suffer? Verse 18 tells us, "For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, because he was a man, he's able to succor or to help them that are tempted." That's why in James it says in the first chapter, 2:4, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And he goes on, you know, we're to have, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Think about that. Hebrews 5 and 9 says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of salvation unto all them that obey him." Oh my, that's the Lord we serve. Jesus laid aside his personal will and desires. That's what I mean. He suffered to be obedient to the will of the Father. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And again, that was his paramount thing, and that's what he, remember what he said I shared earlier with a rich young man? Get rid of your riches. Don't let them rule you. But he wasn't willing to do that. Well, beloved, there's yet a very important aspect of perfection that we've not covered. However, with the Lord's help, we're going to pick up on that next week. So I invite you to tune in. We're heard on this station every day, Monday through Friday, at the same time. And if any time you miss a broadcast or want to re-listen, please go to our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can click on the broadcast and listen anytime at your convenience. They are archived there for a number of years. Just know that I love you. And I pray for you every day, and I just believe that you're going to see some real breakthroughs in your life as you seek to follow this command of Jesus. Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I love you, and until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.